Good morning. Church looks very different for me this morning from up here. Welcome to this second Sunday in Lent. Lent being a time of reflection. I wonder how many of you grew up celebrating Lent in your church of origin. Okay, so there's a few of you who are familiar with the practice of Lent, and maybe as you grew in the church, you learned a little more about that. Well, Lent being a time set aside for reflection, and living in Belleville, my countryside and my surroundings, what I see out my front window and out my back window are so inspiring. And so I thought I'd tell you just a little bit about that this morning. When I get up early in the morning and I sit at my dining room table, I can look out the front window and I see Front Mountain. And there's a long distance between my house and Front Mountain. And so when I see the birds flying, they're like little specks just floating on the wind. And I see the little Amish school that was built last year. And at 6:30 in the morning, the teacher is already there and she has built the fire. And the smoke is just making its way up into the air out of the chimney. I see birds at our bird feeder, and I think of Rodney, who I know loves the birds, and we have cardinals, and we have woodpeckers of different varieties, and it's just a reminder that we serve a God who is a God of this beautiful creation. If I turn to my right and I look out my back window, I see Back Mountain, which is a little closer. And the trees are still kind of a gray and not a whole lot of life there. But what's so amazing about Back Mountain is as the clouds form in the sky and the sun shines on them, they cast a shadow on Back Mountain. And as the wind moves the clouds, those shadows move like a moving picture right across the Back Mountain. And so when I think about reflecting about life during this time of preparation in Lent, I think, oh, there's so many good things. I can count family and friends. I can count my experiences here living in Belleville and say, oh, life is very good. And God knows that, but I think what God is really calling me and calling you to reflect on is those parts on the inside, not just on the outside of us. And so when I think about reflecting during this time of Lent, I think God wants my heart, even when it's broken. God wants my failures, my shortcomings, my bad habits, all my insecurities. And so those are the things that I think about this morning. Lent is a long period of time, and so it gives me plenty of time to work through those things with God and invite change and invite Him to bring newness to those broken parts of my life. And so let's look at our call to worship. And I'm going to suggest that as we enter into this call to worship, you're welcome to follow along. Or you're welcome to just close your eyes and listen to these words as the psalmist wrote. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. This morning, as I light the peace lamp, well, I'm not very good at matches. One moment, please. We'll try this again. I light this lamp for those whose lives have been destroyed by the winds of war. For those whose lives have been destroyed by the winds of tornadoes. And for those whose lives have been destroyed by the winds of physical and emotional violence. We pray for your peace. Amen.
Please rise if you are able, and we'll sing number 26. And have your finger in number 16, because we're going to transition right into that song with a little piano interlude. Right after 26.
Thank you. night. Did you see any wind this morning? Did you feel some wind? Did you hear it? No, you didn't hear it. Yeah, because when it's soft and gentle, you don't really hear the wind, right? How about when the wind, like, if you're in bed at night and there's a big windstorm, do you hear the wind then? Does it rattle the windows of the house and kind of, like, howl? That's what we, when the wind is blowing really hard, we often say it's howling. Yeah. Well, today's scripture, I'm only going to read a short part of today's scripture to you, and then the whole scripture will be read after children's time. Now, this is Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, who is a Jewish leader. And he says, "The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." So can you see the wind, really? No, you're right. You can't see the wind. But how can you tell it by looking? How could you tell this morning that there was some wind? You could feel it. And is there any other way that you could tell? Yeah, so you can't see the wind, but you can kind of see the effect of the wind, right? So, look at that. Now, that's not a real wind, right? That's man-made wind, but look at that, like gently fluttering. So, have any of you ever flown a kite or watched kite flying? Yeah. Is it fun?
Yeah.
Yeah? Is it kind of hard to fly a kite? Yeah, it can be pretty hard to fly a kite. Now, I don't even own a kite, okay? And I think you understand with a kid like Noah, you don't fly kites. But you can watch flying kites, and that is a lot of fun. So I have kind of a little representative kite. So here you go. You take your kite out, and you have to very carefully, like, get it up into the wind, right? And it gets up, and it's sailing in the wind. And maybe if you're good at your kite, you can kind of, you know, you get it kind of swooping a little bit. And you're going along, and it's just up there, and you're admiring the work that you do, and the tail of your kite is flying around. And then all of a sudden, you can't see it, you can't hear it, but all of a sudden, the wind up here changes, and something takes your kite. Does that ever happen to you? Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I'm just not so talented as to be able to cut out a decent butterfly, but yeah, I love those kinds of kites, a butterfly kite, and you know, and sometimes there are multiple strings on those kites, and people can get really good at, but you know what? Even the very best kite flyers can't always avoid what they can't see up there, and that's the little changes in the wind. And so that's what Jesus was trying to say. You don't know. Now, one of the things that I didn't know until I started looking at what I was going to say to you, and I was like reading in the Bible and like Googling a few things, is that the ancient Greek word for spirit is the same word as for wind. So, yeah. And so, the spirit is how, that's God. That's how we feel God, that spirit. And we need to follow that wind, right? We're following the wind, but we can't see it. We need to continue. You know, we need to be able to feel that wind, and we need to be able to make changes with the wind. We can't always just fly our kites and have them just sit up there nicely. we can't ignore that kite. We can't, like, be reading a book or, like, I don't know, watching a YouTube video on your phone or anything like that. You need to pay attention to that kite. And we have to pay attention to God, right? We have to be paying attention to the things that he's trying to tell us he needs from us and trying to guide us in how to live our lives. And it's not easy. Now, when you fly a kite, is there anyone helping you?
Yeah.
Who? They help you get the kite up. That is perfect. Your parents help you get the kite up in the sky. And you know what? Your parents help you with the spirit, right? Yeah. So you have to listen carefully to your parents. And sometimes you have to ask them. And they can help you with the spirit, just like with the wind and the kite. Wow. And hopefully you feel like all the people in this church who all love you so much will also help you with that spirit. Your Sunday school teachers, do you have terrific Sunday school teachers? Oh, yeah. Well, that makes her extra special terrific then. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, every person in this church has had a terrific Sunday school teacher who has helped them fly their kites. Okay, let's have a prayer. Thank you, God, for your love and your spirit. Help us fly our kites. Amen.
Thank you, Betty, for that children's message. Would those collecting the offering please come forward? Let's pray. God, we bring these gifts to you with thanksgiving in our hearts, and we pray that you will use these wherever the Spirit leads. Amen. Today's scripture is printed in the hymnal. If you would turn to that, please. Hymnal Worship Book, number 842. And if you take note, at the very bottom, the italicized print is the response that I would like the congregation to read when we are finished with the scripture. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said,
"Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, because no one could perform the works you are doing if God were not with him."
"Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again."
"How can someone be born when they are old? Surely you can't enter your mother's womb a second time and be born."
"Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit."
"How can this be?"
"You are Israel's teacher, and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him."
"For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Maybe mine was different. I apologize. Kate, blessings to you as you bring our message this morning.
Good morning, friends. Wind is our theme for this second Sunday of Lent. And as Betty pointed out, wind, breath, spirit are one and the same. So I invite you to receive the breath, receive the wind, sensing a full breath coming in and a full breath going out. And pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I want to start out by inviting you to come back into that scripture, to come back and imagine with me. Can you feel the darkness of the night? So dark that before your eyes can adjust, you can't even see the hand in front of your face. It was a darkness like that when Nicodemus crept out of the house, didn't tell his wife where he was going, just silently pulled the door shut behind him. It wasn't a far walk to where Jesus was staying. No need to light a lamp. The road there was still. No one else out in the inky darkness. But there was a flame flickering in the house ahead. Jesus must still be awake. And just before committing, just before Nicodemus knocked and entered, his heart pounding like a wild animal trying to escape, I imagine he might have reconsidered, what am I, a Pharisee, a leader of the people, doing here? I'm respected by my peers, live a frugal life based on God's word, always looking to the law and the prophets to guide my steps. Yet it was something burning in his gut that brought him here to the door at this late hour under the cover of night. And so he knocked and was welcomed in. But right off the bat, that conversation took a strange turn. Jesus declaring that no one can see the kingdom of God without being born again, being born from above, being born anew. What are you saying, Jesus? No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and wind. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. But Nicodemus shook his head. How can it be? He asks, trying to make sense of these words, trying to understand this call to new life, when all of a sudden a gust of wind whistled down the chimney, making the dying embers there burst into flame. And Jesus said, being born again was like that. It wasn't something you did. The wind did it. The Spirit did it. It was something that happened to you. That's what being born anew is all about.
Being born again happens to you. Well, we don't hear any more from Nicodemus that night. That this being born again happens to you. Then Nicodemus is gone from our gospel story. But he shows up again later in John's gospel, defending Jesus before the Pharisees, and then at the cross helping Joseph of Arimathea prepare Jesus' body for burial. So what happened to Nicodemus that night as he left with the imperative, you must be born anew? Out of all the possible metaphors Jesus might have described for seeing or entering the kingdom of God, he picks this one, being born. The experience of the kingdom is like being born. It's a radical, traumatic event, a life-changing event. Nicodemus understands Jesus to be saying he must be born again and wants to know how. A man can't enter his mother's womb and be born a second time, can he? To which the answer is and always will be, of course not. It's a physical impossibility. But perhaps that's the precise point of Jesus' statement. Because what Nicodemus is doing by maintaining the rigorous demands of his life as a Pharisee is like trying to give birth to himself, trying to give birth to his spiritual self, and that's impossible. I want you to think back for just a moment to the circumstances of your own birth. Who was it that labored to get you here? You or your mother? None of us birthed ourselves. Our mothers gave us birth. They gave us birth, which means that our role in the whole birthing process was a pretty passive one. Our job as babies being born was to let go and let our mothers labor on our behalf. Jesus seems to be saying, Nicodemus, for too long now, you've been trying to deliver yourself by your own efforts. I say that you must be born again. You must let go and trust God with this holy labor. Well, I wonder if in every generation we might tend to act like the Pharisees. We like structure more than spontaneity. We're more comfortable with law than with spirit. And like Nicodemus, some of us are trying to work our way into the kingdom of God, to earn our place in God's kingdom. But Jesus is saying that's not how it works. As I was thinking about this metaphor of birthing, I wondered, what role does the baby play in the birthing process? Does the one being born have any role to play, or does birth happen to it? Well, the miracle of Google helped me. I learned that in a normal full-term birth, it's the baby that actually gets the birthing process started. The release of proteins from the baby's lungs, essential for normal breathing outside the womb, that's what initiates the labor process. So the one being born is, in some ways, a very active participant in being birthed. Birth happens when the one being born is ready to breathe on its own, to receive the wind, the spirit of life outside the confines of the womb. When we're ready to breathe, we're ready to be born. When we're ready to breathe, we're ready to be born. So are you ready to be born anew? Are you ready to say yes to the birthing process, to trust this midwife of spirit to deliver you into the kingdom which is here and now? This born anew, born again language is layered with so many meanings in our culture. And I suggest it's not about asking, have you been born again, the once and done, said a prayer, and you're all set for life. I don't believe that's what Jesus is calling us to. I suggest that Jesus invites us to re-enter relationship anew, to come back to a reliance on God's love again and again, breath by breath. Being born anew happens over and over. For me, I've noticed that I can claim being born anew when I'm riding my bike home and I might be replaying a conversation and recognize a place within me where I wasn't responding from a loving place. I might have been responding out of a more fearful place of cramped anxiety. And it's when I recognize that sin, that missing the mark of living in God's love, that I have that choice to ask for forgiveness, to be asked to be saved from my small-hearted ways of being. And I ask to be made anew. I take a deep breath and I start again. I wonder, is that what being born anew of the Spirit might look like? Being born anew is noticing places of discomfort and choosing to step into those places. Maybe it's as simple as following up with someone who sent you an email that makes you bristle with anger or resentment. If you take a deep breath and choose to step into the relationship of love, with the Spirit of God. I wonder, might that be what being born anew looks like? Yesterday at Hyattsville Mennonite Church, I sat and had lunch with a bunch of folks from West Philly Mennonite Fellowship as part of the Allegheny Mennonite Conference Spring Assembly. Yesterday, as a conference, we officially welcomed that congregation into our conference. They were leaving a conference where they weren't safe to live out their call to welcome and affirm all people, to bless all who want to live in committed relationships of marriage and inclusion in the church. This has been a very long, long birthing process for them, a painful and a liberating journey of being born anew. Those from West Philly yesterday were taking another deep breath, one of many deep breaths where they have said yes to the Spirit, the movement of God, and so we're born anew into a conference that we now share together. For them, it's been years of processing, and they recognized, they named that birth, this birth for them, and birth for all of us, is messy. It's fraught with danger. And birth brings new life. Birthing happens when we're ready to breathe and when we're ready to let God work in us and through us. Being born again means giving up control and letting God bring new life. Our task is to simply enter into the willingness of God's life, to say yes to being a child of God once again. We need to be willing. We need to be ready to breathe. But then God does the birthing, not us. Our task is simply to say yes. Maybe noticing places where we've missed the mark, where we ask for God's forgiveness and turn our eyes and hearts to God, to take a deep breath and trust that God can make something new. Maybe it's reaching out into a place of discomfort and working on building a relationship of love, not fear. So what about you? Are you ready to breathe? Ready to breathe and then allow God to bring new life, new spirit, new wind? Jesus says, "The wind blows where it will, and you hear the sound of it." So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit, the breath of God. When we're ready to breathe, we're ready to be born. Are you ready to breathe in the Spirit of God, the wind of God, the breath of God? As we listen to this meditative music now to transition from a place of words to a place of receiving spirit, of receiving God's holy breath, I invite you to simply enter this space and be refreshed by the sound of music.
Thank you.
I would like to welcome any visitors, if we have some visitors, and if you are visiting and feel comfortable introducing yourselves. I guess I'm new enough that if you're a visitor, I may not recognize that. No? All right. Do we have any birthdays this week?
My name is Rodney Brubaker. My mother, Carolyn Brubaker's birthday is this Friday the 13th. And believe it or not, she was born on Friday the 13th. So I can't tell you her age. You have to ask her age. I can't tell you. And there's another woman also the same day her birthday was a lady I knew a long time here. It was my barber. It was Deb Noon. Yeah.
Any other birthdays besides Carolyn?
Let's sing our 105, Don't Be Afraid, is our sending song.
Wait, birthday. Oh, I'm sorry. I was asking you to get a stone. Thank you. And before we sing our closing hymn, are there any announcements?
I have a couple announcements. One, while I praised the miracle of Google in my sermon, I've been frustrated that I tried to send out an email last night to you all and somehow it didn't go through. Encouraging that we find ways to interact and greet one another that respect and honor the ways of greeting without touching one another. So I encourage you to find ways to interact and to be with one another without shaking hands. I'm sorry that didn't go out. I'm going to try it again. I will be gone next Sunday. Just wanted to let you know that. Elders will be here, but I'll be back the following week. I'm going to Florida for a nephew's wedding. So looking forward to that. And one other thing, there is no children's Sunday school today. I realize with a smaller crowd, recognizing that there are several people in our congregation who, because of immune-compromised lives, have chosen not to be here today. So we won't have Sunday school today, and there was some nudging of the Spirit this morning for me to make a big pan of baked oatmeal. So I recognize that we would probably be a really small group for our adult Sunday school, and I invite you to join me downstairs for a cup of tea and a bowl of baked oatmeal if you'd like, because I think it would be worth us maybe discussing parts of the sermon, how we figure out what it means to be born anew in our culture. But also, I'd welcome conversation for us to discuss how we live as a people without fear, that our sending song is Don't Be Afraid, and how we live with wisdom and discernment in this time in our culture right now with the coronavirus spreading. So join for that conversation of living without fear, but living with wisdom and discernment. Thanks.
Not yet. Joel Widener. One way that we help foster community in our church is through our church directory, and I'm trying to get that updated. It has pictures, emails, addresses, email addresses, and I thank several of you for making sure your entries are updated. We're going to print printed copies at the end of this month, but I'm going to be around after the service today and next week. If anybody wants to update their picture, I can take a quick picture of you to have in the directory.
Rick Stayhauer, I sent out an email earlier this week, a couple days ago, about out of the cold, and just wanted to emphasize again that we will be hosting the Out of the Cold. This is our chance to provide overnight housing or shelter for the homeless in our community. But we rely on each and every one of you to volunteer to make that work. And I wanted to emphasize that we especially need people who could serve as overnight hosts. So you stay in the church overnight and take turns staying up. So just keep things under control if needed. So if you are interested, please let me know, and I will arrange some training if you haven't done it before. But please volunteer, and I'll keep pestering and nodding and nudging to get volunteers. Thanks.